A very good morning to you, and welcome to Dr. Brass Tacks for Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021. My name is Glenn Marie, and I will be your moderator today. And my teammate in this four-hour journey, this crew, we hope it's a cruise aboard a big vessel called Brass Tacks with the Brass Tacks family. And my crew member, my companion will be the one and only John Stout. He's stout physically, but he's big in his heart and big in his smile. So why don't he be the producer and technical operator for today? Remember, our call numbers are 434-1790, that's on the telephone, and WhatsApp. You can reach us via WhatsApp at 266-4862. As usual, we go until 2 p.m. today, so we have 4 hours of what we hope will be a pleasant buffet of topics. It's like going to a buffet, and you don't know where to start. There's so many issues that are waiting to be touched on. If I can give you some of the ideas which I think are available for discussion for me, for my picking, would be, of course, there's the GIS matter, the Government Justice School matter, that saga that keeps unfurling day after day. COVID is still with us and still important and topical. I'll have a few words to say on that too. Then there's the proposal to institute contract on senior public service officers, which is a break in longstanding tradition. Even recent appointments in the diplomatic service. There's the BA, DMC, BWA, and other statutory boards who are available for comment. Yeah, you really don't hear much about them except for negative and savory accusations and whatnot. I think we need to start having more information coming out of them. But that's my view. Yours is there to be given to us. And then there's also the old question. Remember that old question of pensions when people were calling in and said they were being deprived of the two pensions, the disability benefit, etc. That's more than a year ago now. It was not swept on the carpet, it was pushed aside, but it resurfaced about three weeks ago when David Ellis was on air. It was an issue that had been pushed by the moderators to a large extent. And then I got some calls about it, it's still up for resolutions. It's a need for further discussion, because as long as one person is not happy and satisfied that they were fairly treated, we need to explore it some more. Then, of course, there's CXC and 11 plus exam, news about which we might get today based on tomorrow, after tomorrow's meeting with the Minister of Education and people in the education sector. There's also politics. We can talk about the B's and the D's, what's happening in the parties, how you view things. I'm not stealing Peter's thunder, but I think that's something that we can talk about. But on the question of politics, I'd like to correct, before I go there, let me do this public service announcement. We've had some calls at the studio from a lady who said she's been trying to get onto the department, which provides certificate of character, for the last several weeks that she can't get through. I'm surprised to hear that, because we had been hearing that this thing was all smooth and it was going to routine and there were no longer any hassles to it. You get it within days, no rather than weeks. So if you can give us some information as to how we go about, persons go about getting these documents, because sometimes we assume that the information has been out there and people know, but sometimes people don't pay attention to these announcements until it's their turn. They need to get these services. So if somebody can give us some information on the police certificate of character, how we can get it on air, online, whatever, please give us a call. And one issue before I go on, my initial comments, I need to correct Mr. Stryker's statutory yesterday. I think it's the second time, if not the second time by him, it's the second time we're hearing this interpretation, this revision of the saga involving replacement of water mains for the Barbados Water Authority. Yesterday, he blamed Prime Minister Tom Adams for putting us in a predicament where we still have to lay down these mains and that. He accused Mr. Thomas of using money which had been there set aside for the men's for other purposes. But I think he had the cart before the horse. When the government changed, Dallaire Alvaro, who became prime minister again, found, I think it was a $20 million set aside, which where Mr. Adams had set aside, because I know, because at that time, I was personal assistant at that time, so you know what I'm talking about, set aside to, because he had examined the whole question of water in Barbados and the history of the water system, et cetera. And he had determined that he would set aside a special fund to start to replace the men. Prime Minister Barr came in and said that, what was this money set aside for? Took it out of the special fund and put it into the consolidated fund for general usage. And that set back that program for many, many years. So Mr. Straker, you stand corrected for once. You're usually very spot on with your information, but I believe you might have been misinformed. But before I exhaust my time and I get a signal from John, you know, I'm a lover of Beijing proverbs. You hear, they give such great moral value and philosophical insights as life and the meaning of life and how to view life, how to behave in life. So you hear things like, time is longer than twain. Or there's more in the marvel than the pestle. You can hide them by land, but you can't hide and work it. All those things are pearls of wisdom that have kernels of truth that are as sound as death that come from the Bible. So, but there was one, particularly one that I heard from a very good friend of mine from Carrington Village who attributed to one of the residents of that village. I forgot his name, but he used to say, quote, you cannot cover down feces with a sieve. You cannot cover down feces with a sieve because eventually the stench will still come through the holes in the sieve. And that came to mind very forcibly when this whole issue with the GIS broke out. The misdeeds, the dysfunctionality being going on in that institution, the horrible, horrible, scandalous behavior meted out to the 14-year-old, et cetera. And that's what I remember, because it seemed that for several reasons. First of all, one of the reasons why it seems these things like this have been going on for a long time, and we did not know about it, was like most Beijings, I wasn't hearing about it, so I assumed that all was well and all was going, people were functional according to their methods, and therefore we had nothing to worry about. Occasionally you hear somebody has escaped or left the thing and the police are seeking to find them, and that would be captured in a few days and things will go back. So it was, I didn't believe them, like the average Barbian, we were just saying that things, they were doing their job and things were under control and whatnot. The shock that I got when this broke out made me realize that the reason why we weren't hating about it, not that things were going according to plan, according to ideals, according to the system, according to the principles and the practice that should be respected at the institution. But two things. One is that GIS never had any champion. Growing up in Spooner's Hill, I always used to hear being warned by my mother, do not become a Dodge boy. Dodge was the name it popularly given to the government industrial school because it was a Dodge in Cifalo. And that was the warning. That was the thing you had to avoid most of all. So because too, it was not something that involved the middle class. It only impacted invariably from what I can remember all my years of the working class person, the person who ended up in Dodge with people who came from the working class. And there was just, so it was just left there to run on its own. It was doing the job. So there was either no need or there was no inclination for any champion of the cause of Dodge, both for the boys and the girls. So it just happened. It went on its merry way, et cetera. They had no champion, had no advocates or whatnot. And secondly, it is that, as has been revealed, the staff was the management ran the place according to the interpretations of the rules that were there. Now, the minister had said, there was an absence of protocols, et cetera, in writing, established. But so the staff were free to interpret the rules, their practices, their processes on their own, based on what they thought, saw fit, or what they were told to do, or what the expectations. They had to come to nobody. The board was merely an advisory board. So they were their own bosses. So they were the only judge, jury, and executioner in the run of dogs at Garvin Industrial School. Furthermore, that made, when I put on my sociology hat, what therefore those conditions, that perfect storm of circumstances brought together a situation where there was a process of what in sociology is known as institutionalization, where an institution becomes a law unto itself, creates its own rules, creates its own values, its own policies, its own rewards, its own punishment outside of the mainstream, outside of what written in the book, in the policies, what is given in training. They're running as they see fit because they are their own. But if you ever saw a movie called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson, it tells you how, despite what is written in manuals and books and policies, the staff, between the staff and the residents of an institution, they can create their own culture, cooperate, collaborate for running the institution as they see fit. They reward, they punish, they interpret the rules, they bring their own rules, et cetera, and they run it. And I think there's a classic example of what happened there. So now it is open time. It's open time. It's brought to the fore. And I think we have a lot more to go, a long way to go before we are satisfied with that. I do not think that Minister Abrahams is stand and saying that certain practice will end and there was an investigation. I'm left wondering, who did the investigation? How many people were involved? If it were Minister Abrahams himself, he might be an excellent lawyer, but he's not a trained investigator. Investigation of these matters are specialist activities. That is why you have a CI, you don't just have a police force, but you always have a criminal investigation division because investigation is a specialist activity. So therefore, there are several questions to ask about that whole investigation and how the decisions and whatever conclusions they were arrived at and where we go from here. That's my opening gambit on those matters. I'd like to get back to you as soon as possible. And John, if you're ready, let's say, let's have the first call for the morning. Welcome, caller. Welcome to Brass Talk for Tuesday.
Good morning to you, Mr. Murray.
Good morning, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Yourself, sir?
I'm doing wonderful, Mr. Murray. I want to discuss two issues with you, but I prefer to start where you end off just now because you made an excellent point and apparently stole some of my notes. Because what I wanted to add to what you were saying, basically, is that I would hope that the new board, and let me commend the, I won't commend the minister, and I'm not here to throw, because everybody wanted the minister on the bus, but I don't believe that the minister should be thrown on the bus in this particular instance. But the point I want to make is that I hope that that the board should not only be an advisory board, that I actually have to look at existing legislation to give the board some teeth, and that those persons who would be sitting on the board are persons who would be au fait with all of the rudiments of how we are going to deal with all deviant youth going forward. In other words, just don't pick up Tom, Bob, and Dick and put it on a board, and then you don't understand the rudiments of being a board member. I think I've made myself clear as far as that's concerned. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, but before you go, just let you know that I have no intention, and it's not my policy to throw anybody under the bus for whatever reason. I just merely seek to examine issues. I don't like to deal with people, with policies and principles. So whatever, and if you're up this up from, he's a public figure, he's accountable to the public. So any question I have to be answered, I will not allow anybody to be unfair to him in if I can correct or stop a misinterpretation or misjudgment or mispronouncement. Right. I feel it is actors are up for scrutiny.
Right. And what I hope that will be forthcoming from the minister is that the public should have access to, not everything that we may want to share with the members of the public coming out of the investigation. But I don't believe that we should just be told that there will be an investigation full stop, and then we do not know what have became of the investigation. You follow me?
I agree. In addition, right. I would like to know, when I saw the board, I would like to know something about the background of the board. What skills, what particular insights, what experiences do they bring to to this process. To just give me names, just give me names and title. Don't help me. Don't tell me that don't indicate that because the person is well known, therefore they're automatically qualified on the board. No matter who would have selected the board, I think we have to do better than that.
Because what jumbled at me, Mr. Murray, is that we need people, because this board is unique to all the other boards. Not that the other boards are not unique, but this particular board is unique in the sense that we need persons on sitting on this particular board who can identify and understand and harness certain information relating to these individuals and make some decisions in the interest, the best interest of these young people, right? And not just on the board, merely things. So I all I'm saying is that that is what I believe should happen, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to them, because this is serious business, and I don't believe, Mr. Murray, that we can leave this just dragging along. That, and it brings me to a point where I want to find out. Because you remember on the last administration, the Alma Parish was closed. Now, the reason and purpose, for the best of my understanding and knowledge, for the purpose of Alma Parish, the creation of the Alma Parish School, was to help harness the skills and the ambitions and so on, the troubled youth and the special needs individuals. And I'm wondering now, since we closed that school, right, if we are not now seeing an influx of uncontrollable behavior in this country, because you see, the school, every school had a purpose and design to control and help to better steer. Because if you have the school, my thing is, Mr. Murray, if you have the school in place and certain systems in place, then it takes the load and the transfer to the government industrial school. Because that the skills will be early identified, the ambitions, everything about that particular youth who's deviant can be identified at an earlier stage that will prohibit them from going over to the government industry.
I get your point, sir. I think you're making a good point. But I think that we have to see it in a broader and more longer term perspective. I think this saga has given us an excellent opportunity to relook the whole question to how we treat so-called deviant or troubled youth.
Right.
Because if it's not handled properly, we'll be warping their minds and personalities and development for the future, and that will be reflected in national life and the behavior, etc. So I think it's an excellent opportunity to relook that whole process. Look at all the institutions that are involved. We look, because they're all interconnected, they're all related. And if one is flawed in its relationship with the other, its process is going to be passed on right through the system. So I think we need to take a professional, objective view. I don't believe in knee-jerk reactions. Just because it's happened, just to clamp it down. Remember, you can't cover down feces with a sieve, right? One last thing, and I do not believe it, just we should be doing it just because UNESCO or UN or whoever says what. I think we have to do it because Barbados has developed out of its own principles. Not that we can't learn from others, but let us start it. So what we think as a Barbados said, we need to have for our people the best way to treat them, and not because UNESCO or some other institution says that we should not a convention and that is that. We need to do it out of our own sense of humanity, our care and concern for our people. If what had happened at the government industrial had happened, say at a health clinic, especially a prenatal or postnatal clinic before birth or after for children, it'd be hard. Society would never stand for that. It is just another process of their development. We should not settle for the very less than the best for children who have problems also.
Mr. Murray, I believe, and I'm hoping that one of the names of the members that were mentioned, I'm hoping that a person from the family planning, a person from the child care board. I think these are the people who should comprise this board. This is too sensitive an issue to not have persons who should be integral to deal with the aspects of this. But the next point kind of warm it in closing.
Before you go, another question. I don't think necessarily we should have these boards overburdened with members of other boards. Because what happened, sometimes these institutions collaborate. They don't like to show up each other. They can cover, they can hedge, and in order to preserve their reputation and whatnot. So I'm saying, let people with the skills, some of them will have by law a representative there. Bring people with the same skills who are not in area connected to any institution, no loyalty to anybody. They're loyal to the cause of the children of barrenness.
I agree. But the next point I want to make note is the whole issue of the employment contractual arrangement, the basis of which the government now intends to embark. Now, I belong saying, Mr. Murray, that I support this. Let me tell you the reason why I support this. I believe that the nonsense that is taking place and continue to take place in the civil service. And mind you, I believe you have excellent and professional civil servants. I'm not saying
what,
that we don't.
What do you mean by nonsense?
No, that's what we're getting to know. Sometimes the bureaucracy, something goes beyond them. And to be fair to them. But I believe that an effort for a fellow to save his job, even then have to, so perhaps we may get another, what we know witnessing from the government industrial school. In other words, whatever person got to save his job, and that bureaucracy stands in his way, prohibiting him from doing his job, that he'll be able to say, listen, this is the reason why, rather than taking the blame, or rather than causing this contractual arrangement basis to come to an end through non-performance, that he will now be in a position to speak the truth and say what is hindering him from getting the job done, as opposed to taking the backlash. For instance, let me get a case in point. Now, the government take on, we're called people to sub for persons who go on holiday, who go on leave, who go on study leave, and so on. And sometimes these individuals who come to work 3 months and 6 months down the road, they are not being paid. All of us know that this is an administrative problem in most instances in the government. And it's an administrative problem obviously met by bureaucracy. I'm saying that now that this come into play, those persons now who sit and refuse to say anything, you understand, may now have a reason to stand up. You follow the point I'm making?
Yeah, but let me, what do you mean by bureaucracy? You keep throwing out this term, bureaucracy. It's a very popular term.
I'm going with the same analogy that I just brought you. When you have individuals who come to work, 3 months down the road, the last case in point was the members of the COVID-19 bargaining unit who would say that the last 3 months that they weren't paid.
Now, which was shocking. Another shocking disclosure.
But I do not believe that this is the fault of the Prime Minister. I believe that this is a fault. This is an administrative issue. Somebody somewhere who's responsible for doing something is not now doing it. It's either that or that the government don't have the funds.
Caller, it is a fault of management. It is a fault of lack of supervision in offices to make sure that people do their jobs. But we have to take a break now. I will get back to and expound on that subject some more when you come as to why I interpret in a particular way. But thanks for your call, sir. This is Brass Talks.